Something feels different about the way Wisconsin is building this defense. Longer, faster, more versatile. And now some of the Badgers' biggest 2027 defensive targets are headed to Madison tonight. We break down film, the official visits, and maybe the future of the Wisconsin football defense. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we're breaking down Wisconsin's loaded 2027 defensive recruiting board and the major official visitors coming to Madison. We'll dive into film, the fit, and the bigger picture behind the type of defense Luke Fickell and Mike Tressel appear to be building for the future. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. Thank you so much for all your support of the show. Justin, how you doing today, man? Happy Sunday. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day weekend to you too. And happy Memorial Day weekend to all of our vets and everyone out there that watch the show. I'm doing pretty good. I made myself a nice steak tonight, threw some mushrooms on there, a little asparagus on the side. It was a nice little meal.
You had me until you said mushrooms, and you just ruined
it. What? Mushrooms are great with steak.
So if you are watching on YouTube, you will know that I'm wearing my lovely Tottenham Hotspur kit. Massive, massive win. We stayed in the Premier League, Justin. Oh, my gosh. I was so scared that one of my teams was going to get relegated, which in American sports doesn't happen. When you suck, you just get the number one draft pick. But in England, if you suck, you get kicked out of the league. Imagine if the Packers just were gone in the NFL.
That's the best part of soccer for people who don't follow it. It's like there are real stakes when you're at the bottom that it's like, especially if you're Premier League, like Rajiv is talking about, think about being in a league where you're making like $400 million in revenue going and being dropped to a league where you make like 50. And that's the difference for these teams. Like they get like the colossal kick in the nuts from an economic standpoint if they get dropped down a league.
There you go. There you go. Kevin Brown says, Rajiv, like your take on the 24-team playoff. It changed my opinion. Go check out that show if you haven't seen it. It's Rajiv's Corner, where you get your podcast, and on YouTube. You can go check that out. And Justin, I wanted to ping you on this, actually. My take is very simple. More teams equal better teams. Better for us. I want to be in the playoff because it allows teams like Wisconsin to get in there. There's many arguments against it. Devalue in the regular season. The Ohio State's the world that's going to be in it all the time. I hear that. But, man, there's nothing better than playoff football. And just think of a home game, a home playoff game in Camp Randall. You know you would be there. I would be there. Ryan would be there. Sure. It would be fantastic. Like, oh my gosh, why would we not want that? A 2014 playoff actually means that when we were at our heyday, like when we were even in the Christ years, like we would have been in that thing a lot.
Well, absolutely. Well, you think about it, virtually anytime you're in the top 25, you pretty much have a shot at getting into it.
Right. Yes.
So my perspective on this is it's kind of getting more similar to a NFL playoff. And I think this, the way I look at this from in some ways is if you're getting rid, because we're seeing a massive amount of teams moving away from the, we're going to have these big season opening games against a non-con powerhouse. Teams don't want to take the risk of potentially putting themselves in a bad spot. I think this brings some of that back, but what it also does is it creates really good matchups at the end here for like the first round or two of the playoffs, where it's like none of these teams are like a like top team for the playoff. So it sets up a ton of good matchups. We're going to see some upsets most likely in this setup, because I think you would probably say who do we think was going to be playing here? Like probably top eight will get byes or something like that.
Yeah. So the way this works is that top eight will get by. So it's actually really cool. Like, so 16 through 24, basically, they host. Yeah. So they'll host. Sorry. 16. What did I just say? 9 through 16 will host 17 through 24. So then if you are a top 16 team, you get at least one home playoff game. Fantastic.
Yeah. And I think that creates an atmosphere where, like, we have these games that normally would be like stupid bowl games that were like nobody's really involved with. There's real stakes to it now. It's not an exhibition anymore. And you have guys that are like, I'm going to get an opportunity here to make a name for myself. And we get a chance to move up the ladder and get an opportunity to move up. So I'm not against it. I do think you need to potentially think about removing some games, though, if we start getting to a pyramid that's this big. Because this starts to turn into a lot of games for teams if this starts to branch out too much. And at 24, what are teams going to be at, like 16, 17 games by the time all is said and done?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely can. There's talk about removing the conference championships.
And then, which is probably the smart move.
Which, and then start a week earlier, and there's various things. So, yeah, there's a lot to talk about, but very curious what everyone's opinions are. You can go check that show out. It's only a 20-minute episode. But also, yeah, very curious what people think about the playoff. I'm a big fan of it, and I would love to have it. The other thing I wanted to ping you on, Justin, is I did a show a couple weeks ago about the athletic director search. And how I'm going to cover your face with this, sorry, but this is the list of people that are on that athletic director search committee, including Chris Ballard of my Indianapolis Colts, Michael Finley, Megan Dugan from the NHL. It's a nice mix of people. Are you confident that this group's going to get a solid AD for us?
I would say I like the composition of it to a degree, but it's like, Ballard's probably the best one because he's legitimately in a league that you can kind of look at that. Well, listen, football is going to be the primary focus of this because it's the revenue driver of the entire athletic department. He's the guy that I feel like is going to have the most insight into how does somebody understand this. But I even look at that and I'm like, I don't know that he totally understands it because the NFL is not the same as like how this format is set up with the way you're going to have to do business. Because those guys aren't running out looking to try and drum up money. So some of the fundraising aspects and stuff like that is like, do you guys truly know what exactly you're looking for here in terms of somebody? And maybe it's not even that person's job going to be that person's job. But then if that's going to be the case, whoever comes in is going to have to find somebody that's really good at it to be able to sell the program and or sell the school and find funding. But that's going to have to be a massive part of this until we know that that's not going to be a like primary function of college sports. And as of right now, we don't have this going in another direction. I think we saw some of the stuff. I'm not sure how much you saw. There's a lot of teams that are running at a deficit now. Now, most of the Big Ten and SEC probably are not in that, going to struggle with that because of the extra TV money that they have. But it's some food for thought on that we need to take into account. This spending is going to disappear because schools can't afford to do it.
It's a good point. And I'm fine with spending disappearing a little bit because it's too out of control right now. Yeah, I really like the makeup of that board for the athletic director because it's got the professional athlete rung. It's got donors in it. It's got finance people in it. Like, it's kind of got a nice cross-section, business folks. And if everyone collectively can work together, I think that group can identify the right candidate. So that's good.
I think this is a legit question. Do you think the SEC goes into its own silo next week? Sounds like they're going to vote on it. If they do, the Big Ten will fall. I think anyone saying that there's anything that these schools are going to do needs to wake up and say that the people that are in control of this are the universities as well as the TV execs, because if you start changing anything or you start breaking out from this, you have to make sure that you can get exactly the league that you want if you're going to do it. Some of these other schools, the grant of rights, they're locked in. And you're not going to leave behind schools like Miami, Florida State, Clemson. There's so many teams in like the ACC and SEC or ACC and Big 12 that you would probably still bring into a league like this, that it would be really weird to me to see them try and make a jump like this, knowing that certain teams can't follow, because legally speaking, the amount of money that they would have to pay out would be beyond what they can tolerate.
So I agree with you, and I think the SEC is just posturing here. They are Greg Sankey is very annoyed that Tony Petitti seems to just have more power. The Big Ten commands a little commands more TV revenue. That's just a fact. They do. And they nothing can happen without the Big Ten and the SEC. Nothing in all of college sports landscape, college football. And if the SEC thinks they're going to just do their own thing, they can say that, they can have that opinion, but I don't think it's real. I think they're just trying to gain any kind of leverage and power against Tony Petitti and the Big Ten. And they will eventually fall in line with the 2014 playoff. But I think ultimately, whatever the Big Ten has seemed to be asking for lately, they've been getting it. And I think that this is kind of a power play to say, listen, hold on, we're still really important. And they are. But ultimately, it's going to be the two of them have to get together and figure it out.
Well, look at it this way. If the SEC chooses to jump ship and the Big Ten doesn't follow, like, the Big Ten's in a massive position of power then, because not only do you have the Big Ten, but you have the ACC and Big 12 with them still that are kind of like, these are, listen, we're not that far removed from a Big 12 team being in the quarterfinal and, you know, ACC team, Miami being in the championship game. So the SEC doesn't have a lot of leg to stand on here. Like, they need to get their act together as a conference in general, because they're kind of sliding a little bit. I think it's risky for them on this part, because if the Big Ten doesn't follow them, they're in danger of overplaying their hand.
Yeah, I think they're going to go to their meeting this week. They're going to just talk about whatever they're going to talk about. They're going to come out the other side. They're going to call Tony Petitti and say, let's come to an agreement on a big standard playoff, so that it can go into effect for the 2027 season, which I think will happen. And I think it'll be up to 24 teams. All right. That being said, let's switch kind of to our main story for tonight. We're going to do defense. We've been doing recruiting the last couple weeks. We're going to keep that going into OVs before we start our full-on summer preview of the football season. So we're doing big board defense today. We're going over eight guys today that all have official visits either weekend one or weekend two. And we're going to talk about when these guys are coming. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to go over their offer list. We're going to pull up their film, and we're going to kind of show you what we like and talk through them. Again, these are the big defensive targets that are coming over the first and second weekends. Good mix. There's a lot. There's edge rushers in there. There's cornerbacks in there. Defensive linemen. Nice mix of defense. But guys that I think will hopefully, kind of improve us. But before we kind of look at that, Justin, what do you think about the style of what Mike Tressel's doing here? Like, there seems to be a certain archetype of player that they're going after right now. What are you seeing them kind of go after, and how do you sort of see this, like, changing our defense over the next couple of years?
Well, I think we've discussed cornerback already, how they changed things when they originally came in, which is they like big corners that have length and can run a little bit. So they like athletes at that spot. Defensive line, I think we've seen a little bit of a transition over the last couple cycles in terms of what they seem to be going after, which to me is they seem to be going to bigger, more athletic, almost like 4-3 defensive end type guys. I think Clayton and Cheeks are probably going to be two of the last guys that we're going to see. Maybe they'll grab guys if they think that they're a true difference maker that have kind of that lighter build. But we seem to be moving away from that a little bit more towards guys who are going to carry more weight and look like they're going to be like guys who are really athletic but probably carry around the 260, 265 range and play more like a defensive end.
Yeah, absolutely. I titled the show Length and versatility. I mean, there's just like, there's a whole different world of athlete that we're looking at. If you go back and look at the recruiting lists in 2020, 2019, 2018, and you compare that with the guys that are they're going after now, it's a world of difference in style, and especially versatility, speed, and length. The measurables, they're always a little bit taller, they're always a little bit bigger. And their versatility is all over the place. You're going to see guys tonight that can play, that are playing a lot of offense, defense, which people do in high school, but quarterback, safety, linebackers, there's linebackers that could play on the line. Like, there's just a lot of versatility, speed in positions that are different than the ones we normally see them in. So really interesting stuff. Sorry, I'm battling some congestion, so I apologize for that. All right, so we're going to go down this list here. We got 8 guys. We're going to talk through some film. We'll play you a couple minutes of film. And then, of course, you guys can check it out. All the stuff we get is on Huddle for the most part.
Yeah, and I'll give a disclaimer on this right away. This is not everybody, and we'll definitely break into some of the other guys in later shows when we do visit, like the actual visit shows, where if there's people that we haven't gone over, we'll kind of show you them. Because things are going to change rapidly over the next 2 weeks. There'll be people that jump on board, and there's going to be people that go to other schools and end up, you know, committing there, which is going to change what the board looks like. But there's some pretty good guys that are later on the visit schedule. We'll see if those visits happen. Hopefully they all come in and we get an opportunity if, you know, something changes down the road. But we'll see what happens here. There's some really good players that they have that we're not covering tonight.
Yeah, really good point. This is just a kind of a snapshot of what we wanted to cover today. So these 8 guys. We're going to start with a linebacker. This is Nathan Jones, 6'3", 230 pounds out of Goodyear, Arizona. He is a 3-star with an 87 rating. His official visit is scheduled for weekend 1, which is May 29th. And his other offers include Arizona, Baylor, Florida State, and North Carolina. And we're going to
He's an 87 now.
He's an 87.
Okay, then they jumped him because he was at an 83 before. So
actually, I could be wrong. I think he could be an 83.
Okay, yeah,
I will look.
Yeah, he has no business being an 83. I'll just leave it at that. Right. You watch him play, and the guy's he's an athlete.
Go ahead and tell me what you like about this guy.
I think we start talking about guys that are playing at linebacker, and there's every once in a while there's a freak of nature guy like Posa. I don't think he's in that category. What I do see here is a guy you look at that is really physical. I think he's got good speed. He's got some good size and length in his frame, and he's a guy who really comes downhill, and this is him as running the football here. So he's just kind of a man amongst boys with what he's doing right there. But this is a guy who I look at, and you start to see some of the people who are maybe less heralded, but were really good players at Wisconsin at linebacker. He feels like he fits that, where he's just going to rack up numbers like crazy, but you're probably not going to look at him and say he's a freak of nature like Posa.
Yeah, kind of. We talked about a guy last week that was similar, that had that same kind of profile of a guy that's not going to get a ton of tackles. He's going to be really good. I forgot who it was already.
It was the insane kid. He's more developed than Woolen is. Like I think he's got a bigger frame. He's more physical. He's got a mean streak. Like he just will blow people up when he wants to get in there. And he's a good athlete. But when we talk good athlete, he's not like some of the guys that you look at linebacker, like where you're like he's running a 4.6 and you know can move sideline to sideline, has really good agility. I think he's a good athlete. I think he's more of a guy who is just a brute out on the field.
You know, like the first thing I wrote down was the guy's just tough. He's the kind of tough mentality, tough minded kind of guy, and tough on the field, the physicality there that you want on your football team. He's a football player. Yeah. And it's an odd thing to describe as someone, but it's exactly what you see when you watch his film. He's just a footballer. Like he's the kind of guy that you want on your team because he's going to do the dirty work. He's going to make that tackle. His motor's never going to stop, and he's going to fight until the end.
I love how direct he is.
Yeah.
Like you watch him, and if there's somebody in his way, he's got a blocker, you'll see times where he'll just push that blocker right back into the person he's going after, and he just blows them up. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous the rating that's on him right now, but I really like him. We had a guy named Tate Wallace we were going after. He ended up going to Minnesota. And I watched this kid's film after when I was kind of trying to compare when we weren't sure if we were getting Wallace or not. And I'm like, well, I want to see what this guy looks like. Cause I'm like, he's probably, if he's the next man up, I actually like him better. I think they're both going to be good players in the Big Ten, but I think this guy has a chance to be a really good starter for multiple seasons if it comes together for him. He seems very instinctual, comes downhill. I don't know if he's going to be a guy you're going to want to cover a lot, but I think in terms of movement and playing the run and pass rushing, I think that he's got plenty of tools there for that.
Yeah. I mean, the size is really nice, right? 6'2", 6'3", 230. Like it's a really nice frame already. And he's got, obviously we'll see how senior season goes. And I think that rating will jump up. 83 is a little silly for him. I made notes, you know, I think that was what it's because I made some of my own notes and I think I forgot to change his, and I had 87 written down is what I thought it would, but it's definitely not.
He'll be there soon enough. There's no way it's going to stay at 83. I mean, you look at the type of athlete he is and it's like, that rating's a joke. Like when I think of an 83, I think of a guy that you look at that's got some upside, but needs a lot of physical development. This kid's body wise is basically ready to step in and into a strength and conditioning program in college and maybe put on like 5 pounds. They might reshape him a little bit, but physically he's not far off from being ready to step into that room and start taking reps.
Yeah. All right, Justin, the second guy we're going to talk about is, I'm going to let you pull up this film. This is Mekhi Williams, 6'2", 6'2½, 160 pound out of Ruskin, Florida. He is a 4-star, 91 rating, also visiting on the 29th of May. He is currently committed to Florida State, but that may change. He also has offers from Nebraska, LSU, and Auburn. Yeah. Justin, Mekhi Williams, your thoughts?
Yeah, he's a corner for us. I like him. I think he's got really good length for a corner. Like, I think he's 6'2½", like you said. He's going to need to put on a lot of weight. Like, he's a kid I look at, and I think he's a pretty good athlete and pretty explosive right now. But you could see that he's a guy, as he gets stronger, you can just see him becoming a better athlete as he gets some weight put on him, because he's really undersized right now for what his frame can tolerate. He could easily be a 195-pound cornerback with how lanky he is. And you look at it and be like, he probably can carry that without it slowing him down at all. I think that he's a kid that really seems instinctual. Like, his eyes seem to get him going in the right direction before plays happen. And you don't see that a ton. Like, he plays a lot of safety in high school. He is absolutely, there's going to be a couple of plays here where you watch him turn and run with guys and he seems to just blanket them. And with his length, it's going to be something that I think he can do at a really high level. We'll see how well he dips his hips and can kind of turn with guys when they cut on him. But I think he can do it. He looks like a guy that's going to be a really nice potential boundary corner with his size and ability to move as an athlete.
And I mean, how often do we have 6'3" boundary corners, right? We like 6'3" boundary corners. That's really nice to have. And it's something that we don't have.
He's not afraid to hit.
I wrote down long and fluid. The first thing I wrote down, long fluid. He does it. He runs quite effortlessly. He's clearly an athletic guy, really good ball skills. But the way he just plays is very fluid, meaning that he can make quick decisions, but it doesn't necessarily look like he's rapidly changing. He's like, yeah, I know exactly what I'm doing. I read the game well, but he's very fluid in his movements. I think he played a lot of safety, as Justin said. If he really is going to be a corner for us, I'm all about that because the size, especially how physical he can be on the outside like that, he's going to be disrupting a lot of routes, which is what we need there. When you're that, when you have that kind of ball skills and you're that fluid, you're going to force turnovers in that position. I mean, it's one of the things we liked. I'm not comparing this guy right away to Xavier Lucas. I'm just saying one of the things we liked about Xavier Lucas were the physical tools that he brought to that position. And like, you know, that's the kind of thing when you get a guy that's 6'3" like this, that can, again, be versatile. Remember that word. He's very versatile. He's very quick, right? And he's very long. Mm-hmm. That exact profile you hear a lot in this list that we're going after, because that's the kind of guys that they're targeting right now.
And what I'll say on this, I know Badger Bournemouth saying, don't we pull him out of the South? I wouldn't say that. This is a kid that's coming in first weekend. And he has probably 5 schools that he could go to the first weekend if he wanted to. That to me, when I watch him, there are a couple schools that right now he is committed to Florida State. I know LSU is supposed to be in on him big time. It sounds like LSU is actually the bigger threat, but Wisconsin's in a really good space. I know he likes steeples, which is a big part of this, which is something that is a kind of a feather in Wisconsin's cap in this one. And I do think that they're going to probably come after him harder than any of those other schools. I really like him. As a composite, he's actually a 92.5. So he's really up there on the composite scale. This would be a big corner get for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree completely. And let me tell you something about the Florida State thing. As Justin said, we've clearly got a chance with him. We do.
Anytime we're facing Florida State.
And well, also the other thing is like, if we're highlighting him on the show because, you know, we've heard that we've got a chance with him, that matters. And I'm not saying we're going to get him, but I'm saying that like, clearly it's in play. He's in play, which is one of the reasons that we're talking about him today. We're talking about two guys that have commitments because we're in play on both, which is exciting. Okay. We're going on to our next one. Royalton Allen is a 6 foot, 175 pound cornerback out of Hesperia, California. 3-star, 87 rating, also coming on weekend one. This is the third of the four coming on weekend one. He has offers from North Carolina, BYU, UCLA, and Arizona. And what I realized when I did this was that I should have put up some graphics on the screen of these guys too. So in the future weeks, when we look at our OVs, I'm going to actually put those up on the screen so you can see that rather than me reading out the measurables, you can actually see them on the screen right here. Royalton Allen, Justin, your thoughts?
Yeah. My first thought is good speed, really sudden. This is a kid that it does not look like he's afraid to hit at all, which I will take all the time. I like this kid coming in as an opportunity on the back end. He seems to really, like, his feet don't stop. You don't see a guy who's kind of gets stuck in place. He's constantly moving and flowing, which is always a good thing. And he seems to have kind of a good feel for where things are headed. Like, when you have guys that have good instincts, as you can see, he's clearly physical and not afraid to hit. Whenever you see a guy like this that has that type of ability to stick his face in the fan on the back end, it's such a huge deal, especially when he's not the biggest guy. Like, he's not small by any means, but this isn't like a 6'2", 205-pound safety coming downhill. This is a guy who's probably going to play at 185 pounds or so, and he really seems to come down and is not afraid to blow people up.
Where, and you think he's a safety for us?
I think he's a corner. You look at him from a size standpoint, he doesn't really fit what they like at safety. They seem to like guys who are a little bit more lankier and taller at safety. But it's so hard to say. Like, I think some of these guys are going to have some positional versatility where they're going to look at him and be like, we're going to try you at corner, and if it doesn't work, we'll play at safety.
I feel like a lot of these guys are going to have that, which is why they're, you know, sort of targeting them. So for me, I actually think the reason I asked that is because I think he looks more like a safety for me. I think I agree with him on the measurables, but the way he reads the field, he's, and as I said, that I described it earlier, he's a football player, right? Mm-hmm. You want guys who like to hit, in my opinion, play in that safety position so they can become run stoppers, right? And I really like that about him. And I think that that's one of the things where I know the measurables are cornerback, but honestly, like, I like him kind of playing a bit center field, potentially being able to come up and attack the run because he likes the tackle. He reads the field well. To me, he screams safety.
Yeah. So the other part of this, what I'll say is, if you watch him in open space, he does a really good job of not getting him taking false steps and taking himself out of plays.
That's right.
You saw that one where he took that guy out on that one where he jab stepped him and he was able to kind of recover from that. There's not a lot of guys that can do that. Like, if you take that half false step, a lot of guys will take themselves right out of the play. If you take that, you know, jab step and cut left, and he was able to get out of it.
Yeah. All right. We'll pull that one down. But yeah, again, another good solid target. So far we've talked about Nathan Jones, linebacker, Mekhi Williams, safety / cornerback, and Royalton Allen, cornerback. One more guy we're going to cover coming on weekend one. His name's Darren Graham. He's an edge rusher, 6'5", 218 pounds out of Chicago, Illinois, 3-star, 88. And frankly, I think it could be a little bit more. I like this guy's film a lot. Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, Kentucky. Let me pull it up, Justin, and go for it. Tell me about kids. Yeah, tell me what you think about Darren Graham.
I think you have a huge frame that is clearly going to have some development on it. He's got some really good burst for a kid this size. We kind of talked about it. He's in that Reiger build where he's a guy who you're going to play on the edge, who's going to have some ability to set an edge, but he's also going to have the ability to just blow by people. Like, there's legitimate acceleration from him and an ability to get by people. And you can see that his frame is so untapped. Like, he's going to easily put on, like, we saw what happened to Jalen Williams this offseason, getting 25 pounds or whatever it was, extra weight on. That's what you're going to see with Graham. And when you do that with that type of length on him, if he gets some real strength, and you see it, like he gets physical with the way he plays now, but he doesn't quite have the strength to push people around as much as you'd like. Once he gets that physicality to him, because he's not afraid to mix it up, but once the strength is there, he's going to abuse tackles because he's got so much length that it's going to be really hard to get in on him and actually get your hands on his chest, because he is a guy who's sudden and moves really well on the edge.
Yeah, and again, 6'5", 218 pounds. Like 6'5". Again, length, speed, versatility. This theme continues when you look at this group. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add there. I think the guy's just got – he is literally all upside because of his frame. 6'5", he can do so much. He speaks versatility, right? He can literally do – you could have this guy playing many different positions anywhere on the line, really. He can be that Reiger-type edge. He can bulk up and honestly be someone that plays on the interior as a pass – on pass rushing downs. Like, he can – he's a very versatile guy just based on his upside in the measurable category.
One of the other things that I like about him that you'll notice is even when he starts getting blocked – his feet continue to move and he continues to try and work, which some guys get stuck and they want to plant and start to kind of hand fight with whoever they're messing with and toss them out of the way. He does a really nice job of trying to continue to fight and work his way around somebody. And that's one of the things with his athleticism. Once he gets the strength to follow with it, it's really going to help him. Like there's so much growth to happen with him yet. You can clearly see how raw he is from that standpoint physically, where you're just like, you can see what 25 pounds of muscle will do for this kid when he actually feels like he can physically kind of truly fight with people. Yeah. And he plays in a pretty good conference, like Mount Carmel. That's kind of the best league in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Okay, now we're going to get into second weekend. We have four more to go through here on the second weekend of OVs. And the first one is my favorite guy in the entire list that we're going through. And I can't wait to show you his film and talk about him. So let me just tee up the film first so I can get that ready to go. Okay, so this is Yazin Zion. He is a defensive lineman, 6'4". 6'4", 265 pounds. Go Knights. We just scored a goal. Let's go Knights. Three-star 87. Nonsense. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's nonsense. Three-star 87. Nick Osen, if you're listening to this, get your sight right, buddy. I love you, Nick. I'm just kidding.
I agree with you, too.
So, oh, yeah, that's right. Nick would agree with me. Offer list includes Oklahoma, Florida, LSU, Miami. And I'm going to just start with, hold on, let me make sure you guys can see this. Yeah, you can see this. I mean, if you just, he's got such a super quick jump coming right off the edge. Look at this. Look at it. Immediate jump, immediate moves. He's very, very quick on his feet. Very versatile. Again, versatility. You can put this guy anywhere on the line. Very physical. Like the immediacy that he plays with, the violence that he plays with. You can tell that you put that guy in the weight room, put even more weight on him, like the way he's going to play, the versatility that he's going to bring. And you can see those quick moves. He stays with every play. And it's not like really he's just motor. Immediately shucked out of place. He just plays with that super high motor and he uses his hands very well. He can get extremely aggressive on the line. Now, you see him on this film and he plays defensive end almost the entirety of it. Like, right. Mm-hmm. But he's actually could be an easy D lineman. So he can play 5-tech. He could play 3-tech. He could play 1-tech. He could play anywhere you want on the line based on how Wisconsin sees him. But when you get a guy that's that big, that moves that fast and can also get a lot bigger, that can play any position on the defensive line, again, talking about where Mike Tressel's taking this defense, where Luke Fickell's taking it, he is an impressive guy to add to this room.
Yeah. This is like when we talk about the like, perfect player for what they're looking for on the edge and on the three down. Like, he's the guy they want who they can just go in there. Like, Peterson was like a smaller version of him. You have a guy who's got probably a little more burst and way more size than him that has a similar skill set. And he's just going to be able to really get into people in that role. and he'll play with a hand in the dirt. And it's Wisconsin has not had a ton of these guys that you look at that you're like, this guy's really explosive. He is going to be a fight, and he's going to be somebody that we're absolutely going to have to spend on, because those other schools are going to put money, are going to throw money at him. I don't know where he's going to be on some of those other schools' boards, but this one is not going to come cheap, and there's a chance that he's the best player that's in your entire class. We talked about – oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we talked about last time where I said this was a really high floor class. When I talk about ceiling, this is like one of those guys that you look at that raises the ceiling of the class where you're like, he's a guy that could be a difference maker on defense. He could be your Mason Post on this class where you're like, this guy could be an absolute animal in your defensive line room. And that's something that we have not been able to truly find out of the high school ranks yet. And I think that he could end up being one of those guys.
To play devil's advocate, just a little bit, just to kind of look at it from both perspectives. When you look at his film, Justin, tell me why you think someone would give him an 87. Like, what is missing that you see that, like, he, because an 87 seems like a pretty low rating for this guy.
I think what ends up happening is that a lot of it can come down to who they're looking at the same time. Whenever I start to look at some of this, and I don't know how seasoned the people are that are actually watching and giving grades. To me, you should be looking at a kid and you should be taking a palate cleanser in between. I don't want to hear that you're taking a group of 10 defensive linemen and comparing them all to each other and then assigning a grade to them, because that's not how it should ever be done. Every player that you look at should be based off of whatever you think a score would be in a vacuum. Like, I don't want him compared to somebody else. If you think that he deserves an 88, make him an 88. If you think he would deserve, like, not comparing him to somebody else, you think he's a 90, 91, make him a 91. Do not shift his rating around to adjust your board of who your best players are in the country so that you're like, well, we have to move him down because I want this other guy to be ahead of him in the rankings. That, to me, if it feels like they do that sometimes with this, and I'm like, this is a guy that I look at that he's an easy four-star to me. Like, you watch this film and he just absolutely blows people up the whole time. He's a really good athlete for his size and he's super sudden. Jalen Williams, who I think was a guy that is like a fair comparison kind of, he's probably a little bigger than what Yazin is, but similar type of athlete. I think that Yazin might even be a little bit more sudden than what Jalen was. And I look at this and he was a 91, 92 by the time his rating was done. So I don't see a huge gap between what we're seeing from the two guys. And to me, it's like, why is there such a variance?
Yeah. All right, let's keep it going. Daryl Flemister is our next one up. He is a 6 foot, 160 pound cornerback out of Detroit, Michigan, 3-star, 86 rating. Also will be attending June 5th for his official visit. Offers include Illinois, Auburn, and Colorado. Justin, Daryl Flemister, my friend, what do you like about
this? Sounds like an us and Illinois fight.
Yep.
This guy's absolutely a corner. And you can kind of see it. The way he moves, he looks like a corner. Like, you see guys that seem to work really well in space and just the combination of watching eyes but also blanketing his man. Like, he does a really nice job with it and clearly has speed and athleticism on the back end. I think he's a guy that, in my opinion, would be a really nice get. They have a board of probably 4 or 5 corners that they're looking at right now that I think that they'd be happy if they got 2 or 3 of any of them. But this is a guy we're in a really good spot for that. I think there's an opportunity that they can lock him down.
Yeah. I don't disagree with anything that you really said. You did a good job breaking it down. He clearly is an athletic guy. I like that he likes to hit. He has good ball skills. Like, he just looks like more of a truly physical cornerback, which is something that you really want, especially playing the bigs. And he looks like a guy,
a good field corner, doesn't he?
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely.
Like, you watch the way he sinks his hips and starts to backpedal, and it's like, man, he just looks like he really gets down and fluid in that. Like, not everybody gets as low as he does. But geez.
Yeah.
and yeah. definitely has yeah. instincts. The way he recovered on that and came downhill on that play.
And I'll say it again, versatile. He's a football player, right? I mean, the same things that we've been talking about for a while. This is a guy that kind of fits that mold again. There's a decent amount of cornerbacks on this list that we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about another one in Evan Vaia, but we've already talked about basically three. I mean, how many do you think we're going to get out of this group?
I think we're probably going to take two or three. I think it's probably going to be three when I'll send. Some of it's going to be like, who can you get? Like, I think if you had three guys, like, I think Mekhi Williams is a take no matter what. I think they look at it and they say he's kind of the what's the word I'm looking for? The unicorn in this group, where they're like finding a guy who's 6'3" that can cover and run with people and has that frame is so hard to find. You take him no matter what. Some of the other guys I think would be fighting over a spot. If he jumps in that first weekend, I think that tightens things up considerably. I would guess that they take two more and it's probably going to be on first come first serve.
Yeah. Just as a reminder, if you're just joining us, we're breaking down the big board defensively today, players that we wanted to highlight, eight guys. If you're just joining, you can always rewind, go check out all the film. If recruiting is your thing, last week's show, this week's show, next couple weeks show, that's what we're going to be doing a lot of because OBs are here. Justin really gets excited about mm-hmm. official visits and he texts me. He's like, let's go over this tonight. I'm like, okay, I'll get my work done. So he's really big at this. This is Justin's time of the year. So we're going to be doing, we'll do another position next week. We'll kind of look at other people that are coming in. Obviously we'll have official visits coming up for next week's show. So we'll actually talk about those.
We should have a midweek show. We're having a midweek show with Nick.
Yeah.
To go over the visitors coming into this next weekend.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're again recruiting, if recruiting's your thing, this is it. If your recruiting's not really your thing, that's okay too. It's more Justin's thing than it is my thing. but which is good because he brings that and he's really good at this kind of stuff. In a couple weeks, we're gonna kind of cycle back to previewing football. I got a whole plan laying out that we're putting together for the entire summer with previews of the opponents coming, interviews with those guys, our kind of Know Your Foe series. We're going to do a whole litany of like positional breakdowns. We're going to do a full offensive preview, full defensive preview, everything that we've done in the past, and then some. So the content's really going to ramp up in the summer, which is a lot of fun. But we're going to do a few more weeks of recruiting. So, okay. We're moving on to another guy who already is committed to Texas Tech. Yep, that Texas Tech. There's a lot of money floating around at that school. But I think you're going to like this guy's film.
Yeah, this
is good. This is good. So Brody Fannin-Steele, he is an edge, 6'4", 225 pounds out of Hoisington, Kansas. Three-star, that's bullshit. He's not a three-star, but we're for three-star. He's now three-star 87. He's visiting on June 5th. And he is already committed to Texas Tech. I don't have his list of other offers here for some reason, but his offer list was good. So let me just share that.
Yeah. He's good. What I will say right off the set, Rajiv's recruiting crush in this class is Yazeen Zion. Brody is mine. I love how explosive this kid is. I love how physical he is. He is a freak of an athlete on the edge. Now we talk about a guy who's like, what we wanted Reiger to be, if he was a guy that had just a tick more burst, that's who Fannin-Steele is. Like he's got a nonstop motor. He's a big kid who's super athletic and just blows people up constantly.
Yeah. And if you're watching this film, and if you're not watching on, if you're listening to this on a podcast later, that's all good. Go check out Brody Fannin-Steele's film. It's pretty impressive. And the first move, that jump right off the line, Justin, is elite. That particular move is absolutely elite, and it's easily a four-star kind of a move right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's way underrated. If this was mine, I would probably have him at like a 91, 92. I think he's legitimately a guy that you look at that you'd be shocked if he does not turn into something. I think he's just that type of athlete. The big guys that are 6'4", 6'5", that have his type of explosiveness are not easy to come by. Somebody said in the chat, even committed with their deep pockets, is it possible that he could end up being – he is a plan A dude. You don't take a commitment that early from a guy if he's not a plan A. However, there are varying degrees of plan A, and part of it may come down to how much love the kid's feeling. Listen, Texas Tech has not been perfect in this transition to getting to the top. They have flubbed quite a few things in the recruiting landscape where they have not been perfect as it. And some of it may be they just choose to throw money at stuff. That's not what every kid wants. Like, that can be a part of it, I'm sure, for most of them. But if you're looking at it and a kid also is looking for a staff that truly, where he truly feels valued, that can be a big part of it. And it sounds like Matt Mitchell has done a killer job coming after this kid and has really stayed on him since he took that commitment. And that has been a big deal to Fannin Steele. My gut instinct on this is one you're going to have to win the battle of. I think we will, much like I said with Zion, you're going to have to spend money. I think you're going to have to probably do the same here. But I also, one of the other things that I will say about Texas Tech, they evaluate really well since they've transitioned into this. And I absolutely, that is a major plus for this kid, seeing them be a team that came after him strong. But if Wisconsin got this one done, this is, again, another one of those guys that I look at that I'm like, he's a ceiling raiser. This is a guy you look at that potentially turns into a first or second round draft pick if everything clicks into place.
If I told you we were going to flip either one of Fannin Steele or Mekhi Williams, who would you say
it would be?
Would you answer we'd flip?
Williams is a higher chance right now. In fact, I would say there's we might be in a place where we're considered the leader.
Wow. Good info there. Good info. Listen, Fannin Steele would be a great get. Texas Tech is a very difficult school to compete with when it comes to money. That's the fact. And we have to just be real about that. So if they're
that might not be the battle, and it could be the family even looks at it as like, who's going to take care of my kid better?
That's like, fair.
But it really depends on how close the money is. I do question what type of money they're throwing around in the high school ranks. Are they choosing to be more focused on the transfer portal with their funding? Now, clearly they're almost a blank check school, but people need to keep in mind with Texas Tech, they're starting at like a $30 million deficit compared to the Big Ten right off the bat. So they have other stuff that money's got to go to that they don't have a TV deal to eat up.
Look, that's true. But at the end of the day, the money that's coming in is going directly to players. Like, that guy wants the money to go to players. And that's what they're spending it on. They're going to be a top five spender in college football permanently, as far as I'm concerned.
As long as he has the appetite to continue to do it.
Right. And I'm just saying that, like, I just think that if at any point it comes down to money, when you look at this guy's film, money's got to be involved. We're not going to compete. Oh, yeah. I don't see us getting Fannin Steele. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we have better information and then we get him, and that'd be great.
I think it depends on what the money is, and it, like, just because they have money doesn't mean that they're going to blank check guys. Like, they're not, I have a feeling they're going to be shrewd and say, you know, they get to a point that they're just going to be like, this isn't worth it to continue to invest in a player that it, like, it really depends on where he is on their board. Do they have somebody that they feel is comparable that they're like, why are we keep going up, like, escalating this when we can get this other guy that we like, that's, you know, reasonably, far more reasonable from a financial standpoint, so that we're not pulling from somebody else.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, one more guy we're going to talk about here. This is Evan Vaya. He's another cornerback. So this is our fourth corner, by the way, today. 5'11", 175 pounds out of St. Louis, Missouri, 3-star, 89. And he is also visiting on the 5th of June. Arizona State, Cincinnati, Duke are his other big offers. Justin, what do you like about Evan?
Yeah, I mean, he continues, like, this staff, the one thing you could say about guys right off the bat is they love chasing athletes. Mm-hmm. They continue to get guys that you know are going to be able to run, I love this kid's suddenness. I love his just flat-out speed. Like, you see him taking it on offense here and just running around the corner and blowing by everybody. He's another one of those that I look at that field corner spot where you're like, he's not super huge, but he's a guy who can really run. And he's a guy who's very sudden, that you feel confident in his ability to be able to stay with somebody. And I think that that's important that they have some versatility with the guys, because I think Mekhi's a guy who maybe isn't going to be quite as able to flip his hips like this kid is. But you get some of these guys where you have some variance in terms of skill sets where you feel like they fit what you want to do at that spot, where you're not just doing like a let's get five of the same guy. We want a little bit of flexibility here for guys who may fit some of the things we want to do structurally on defense in better ways. I think all the corners, you look at them, there's a couple of guys that you look at are bigger corners, and there's a couple of guys you look at that are more the field side, but still have good size. Like, they're not chasing after small corners. It's mostly guys who are a minimum of 5'11". Most of them are like that 6 foot, and they all can really run. They all are very capable tacklers. And that is the biggest thing that you can take away, is they really are finding guys who are seem like they're football players in general to go along with the skill sets.
Football player. That's the word of the day. And for me, the words continues to be versatility. I totally agree with everything that you said. He's an athlete. He's an athlete. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable, like how much the athleticism has raised up in this entire recruiting target list. Everything you look at with Luke Fickell and Mike Tressel, it's athleticism. And frankly, you saw that last year. Like, our defense took a big step up because the athleticism was there, and our athletes are not, frankly, our secondary wasn't even that good. Imagine what our secondary is going to be like now.
People in the season, we're going to see a massive jump in terms of athleticism in the secondary. I know I've heard
Go Knights
from a ton Go of Knights. People that there has been a massive jump in terms of what the expectations are from the secondary coming into the season. The coaching staff is very high on what they expect to see out of the secondary compared to last year.
Can I just say the Vegas Golden Knights are now up 3-0 in the series against Colorado Avalanche. Oh, we're going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Let's go, Knights. We're going. Justin, what do you are you overall pleased with what you're seeing out of this entire like, since Fickell has arrived? Obviously, there's a lot of things we don't like. We were very down on Tressel for a little bit, and then we've kind of come back up a little bit based on everything that we've seen on the field and on the recruiting. Are you pleased with what you're seeing out of him? Is this the way that you want your defensive coordinator focusing on his recruiting? Are you overall happy with this? Do you think we're moving in the right direction?
Absolutely. I think we can chalk up some of the failures to what they had within the roster that was here during those first few years. We have seen starting last year that it's clear that they felt like they didn't have the horses. And it was obvious. I mean, we talked 2024, which is the bad running defense year. That was clear to all of us once we saw how easily we were pushed around. That you can't totally put on him. I mean, you can do a degree because obviously it all falls on his head. But if you give the big question you have to ask yourself is, if you have the players available that you need to be successful, is he capable of putting them in position to succeed? And I think we've seen now that he is capable of doing so if he has the players that he needs. And that's right. All you can truly ask from a coach at that standpoint. So if we continue to fill the room with guys who are capable and developing, then I think that you feel pretty good about him as a defensive coordinator moving forward.
Yeah, I do. I've said many times that I feel like this entire program is moving forward, and it's moving forward in the right direction. And our really defense, like
that coaching staff, by the way, and the defense in general.
Yeah. I mean, you guys got like Jack Cooper in the safety room. Like, there's a lot of good coaches there. Mitchell's done a fine job. EJ Whitlow's done a fine job. Like, yeah, man. I mean, listen, that was the best part about our team last year was our defense. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the best part about our team this year. And it's Absolutely. Probably going to be the best part about our team in many years to go, which frankly is the way that I like it. I want to be excited about our defense. I want to know that we can be in any game we play because we're strong defensively. Hell yeah.
I would like to see us have a season where it's more even and that the defense is really good, but so is the offense.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. Maybe this year. There. It could surprise us. There's nobody, even in the coaching staff right now, that knows what this team is going to be capable of offensively. It is very possible that it could be a big jump, and it's like, I'm not saying that that's going to be the case. I don't want anyone to sit here and be like, well, you said they were going to be awesome. No, that's, I'm saying that is not the most likely outcome, but it is a possible outcome with what they have. There are pieces that definitely need to grow in order for that to happen. But offensive line would be one of those spots. Wide receiver would be one of those spots. But if that growth happens, you feel like you have some pieces there where if, you know, Joseph gets the opportunity to get a receiver that starts to turn into a dynamic threat, and you give him some options with the running backs, suddenly the offense could turn into a pretty darn good offense.
I mean, we would love to see that. We would absolutely love to see that. But the defense is in a good place. Again, if you're just joining us, go back. We went through eight targets that are having official visits in either weekend one or weekend two. Going over their film and everything that we talked about there. And if you have been with us the whole time, thank you so much. You're one of the 30 percenters that go with us all the way to the end. Hit that like button. That's super helpful. That'll help, you know, get this video in front of more people. So thank you. Thank you. If you like what we're doing, if you don't like what we're doing, then don't hit the like button. Then don't do that. But if you like it, do that. We're going to be back. I'll be back for another Rajiv's Corner midweek. I'm not sure what I'm talking about yet. If you have any ideas, hit me up on at Rajiv Badgers on Twitter. Let me know. And we'll be back again next week to do, of course, OVs. Probably doing a midweek show with Nick to kind of preview that OV week, and then we're going to come back. And the best thing about OV weekend, especially weekend one, we'll have commits. We'll absolutely be adding to this class within the next week.
I think both weekends we will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Justin, final thoughts on the defensive big board, anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, there's a lot of promise to this board. I really like the opportunity that's here if they can lock down some of these guys. There always seems to be somebody that we're not expecting to commit that does. And if they can do that in this group, that will be huge for this team. Because I do think that we get to see a better product on the field this year, which helps us in terms of maintaining these guys. But a couple of these guys, if they can get them locked down, are going to be massive bumps to this class.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll be back again soon to talk more about the Wisconsin Badgers. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.